Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My mother has a new hero. We were talking about this when I was out with Mason on vacation because my mother was walking into the house from the heat and the humidity of the outdoors, and she said that she just loves whoever it was that invented air conditioning. And so my mother's new hero is Willis Carrier, who is given credit to be the inventor of the modern day air conditioning system. Living out here, not even in Pittsburgh, but living here especially, there are some critical things for the summer. Air conditioning would be one of them because, well, my power went out a couple of days ago and I understood that it gets warm really fast inside. And so air conditioning is kind of a vital thing for us, I think. Another thing that I really enjoy is a swimming pool, because you get to just kind of cool off really quickly, and here then you get to dry off really quickly, which makes it kind of a fairly nice experience. But I really only like pools. I like pools as bodies of water to refresh yourself in because you can see the bottom of the pool. I had an experience when I was about 3 years old when I was in a lake and I stepped off of a ledge that was very close to the shore and went in over my head. And that's kind of imprinted me with a bit of a sense of unease if I can't see the bottom of an area. I'm not a really good strong swimmer, and so when I find myself in a lake, especially when it is above my head, I'm uncomfortable. I like the pool. I like being able to see the bottom, and even if I'm over my head in the pool, I know where the bottom is. And I know there's no roots or things or creatures from the Black Lagoon to come up and grab me and pull me down. So a pool is a good thing. Part of my fear also has to do when there isn't water in a liquid form. And that was born out of the fact of walking across a frozen lake, which we have here every winter, and being out in the middle of the lake and then suddenly hearing that noise. Because when you're in this middle of this lake and you hear the ice begin to crack, there is a feeling that begins to emanate from the very core of your being that say, move quickly, please. So there are three different places in the world that have these sky view sorts of things. We have the one in the Grand Canyon. We have one in Chicago. There's actually four of them in Chicago, all on the former Sears Tower, the Willis Tower. And then there's one in China. And all three of these things have something very much in common. Now, the Willis Tower is the smallest of them. You're only about, I think, 1,300 feet. I wrote these down because I can't really remember this stuff. Yeah, 1,300 feet, and you go out about 20 feet. They're balconies, basically, with glass bottoms. So you can stand there and look all the way down. The one in the Grand Canyon goes out about 70 feet, and I think it's 2,600 feet, 2,000 feet above the surface of the canyon. And again, you can stand and look down. Now the Chinese, not to be outdone by us silly Americans, built a walkway across a canyon, 332 feet across, glass, just wires on the side. 2,600 feet down. Now, the one thing that is in common for all of these, other than the glass bottom, is they have a propensity to crack. So can you imagine standing 150 feet out, 2,600 feet over a precipice, when you hear that noise under your feet? Now, they're made to do this. Apparently, the glass is all laminated, and the top lamination is made to crack if there's an impact, because somehow then that defrays the fact of anything else getting further underneath. I don't understand the engineering. That's just the way it works. But the Willis Tower cracks on a regular basis. That Chinese one cracked, which actually caused somebody to have a heart attack as they were trying to run off of the bridge, as does the Native American thing up on the Grand Canyon. The reason why I mention these things is because there is a certain fear factor involved with that. And it made me think of the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, Indiana Jones was trying to get into a place where it was believed that the chalice that Christ used at the Last Supper was, to be able to get there to rescue his father who had been shot. And so he was making this journey, and there were three things he had to do, and the last thing was crossing over where the lion's head was. And so he gets to this giant lion's head, and there's this huge crevasse with no bridge. And it says, only the faithful shall pass. And so to be able to rescue his father, he puts his foot out and lowers it down to find that there is an invisible glass bridge there that allows him to get to the other side. Now, Indiana Jones wasn't being faithful. He was being loving. He was doing what he needed to do to be able to rescue his father. He didn't believe in anything that was laid out in terms of these different challenges that had been placed forth. But he was there for his father, dealing with the unknown. In today's second lesson, it tells us that faith is the conviction of things not seen. Good definition of faith, because it's those things we can't see that we tend to wrap ourselves around. It's those promises that God has placed before us that really are the things that grab us and hold us and allow us to be the people of faith. But it is the conviction of those things that sometimes kind of sways back and forth. Kind of like a bridge, except like a rope bridge, where we don't feel quite so stable as we're trying to get across it, and it's moving side to side as we feel like we're possibly going to slip, and we're holding on with a death grip to make sure that we don't actually stumble and fall. Because sometimes that's the way our faith can feel, because God places before us challenges that don't seem reasonable. Places challenges before us that we look at and wonder why it is that we're going through these things, why it is that we're experiencing these episodes in life, why it is we're asked to make sacrifices or do certain things to be able to bring out ministry or to be able to simply minister to individuals. And we don't understand why. And yet, in the midst of sometimes not understanding, we still have that drive of that conviction of the things that we don't know, the things that we can't see. The Bible's filled with those stories. That's part of what Paul was talking about in that second lesson, that little section there that was missing between, I can't remember what verses it is now, I think 3 and 8, talk about individuals within the Bible and the things that God called them to do and the faithfulness they exhibited in terms of going out and doing the things they needed to do by placing their trust in God. Primarily, they talked about Sarah and Abraham. One as good as dead, Old as dirt. Old fart. Not having children. And yet God says, you're going to have children. In fact, you're going to be the creation of a mighty nation. Well, it doesn't seem really possible when you're 100 years old, you haven't had children yet, your wife's gone through menopause, and you know, well, doing that whole thing really isn't the foremost of your mind at all at that age. And yet God says, this is going to happen. And that story of faith allows them to get wrapped around something that they can't possibly understand or believe in. Because it's not possible. It's not within the realm of possibility. And yet their conviction of faith held fast and firm to that understanding that this was going to be part of their life. And it was. You know, they never got to see the fact that they were the beginning of a mighty nation. They never got to go out and count the stars and see the people and equate them all together. Because they just didn't live that long. But the promise was fulfilled. Fulfilled through their lives and fulfilled through their faithfulness in terms of going forth and doing the things that God asked them to do. No matter how things might appear, whether there's a bridge there that ties that promise to reality or not. And like that Indiana Jones character, the bridge was there. They just couldn't see it. God comes to us in a variety of different ways, in a variety of different times, in all kinds of situations within our lives, much in the same way He has come to Abraham and Sarah and to Noah and to David and to Rahab and to all the other characters of the Bible that we have these stories of faith. God comes to us and says, you, I want you to go do this. The problem is it doesn't come in these spectacular ways where we go, oh, God just talked to me. And that's okay, because I think we'd be a little uncomfortable with the fact of having a bright light shining down in the middle of the night. We'd probably wet the bed when it was all said and done. They'd have to get up and change the sheets, because voices in the night that tell us to do things are kind of scary. But you see, God does talk to us. God talks to us through other people. God talks us through situations. God talks to us in our conscience, in our subconscious, leading us and guiding us to do certain things. God stirs up within us this question of what it is that we should be doing. God places before us people in need that make us go, maybe I really should do something. God places opportunities before us in terms of what we might be able to do with what we have. Places before us the opportunity to go out to do a habitat build, to be able to do something for somebody else. Helps us with the program that brings refugees in and helps them with resettlement within this country, to be able to offer them a new life. The opportunity to be able to give food to the hungry, to create shelter for the homeless. Be able to use our minds in the gifts that God has blessed us with to simply go out and to create new ministries, new ideas, ways to be able to create situations where we can continue to do ministry in a variety of different ways. But you see, God talks to us in all kinds of situations, in good situations and in bad, leading us to those places where God would call us to go. Because we have to be in those places to do the work that God would ask us to do. We can't just simply sit in our chair and flick through the TV and then go in the refrigerator and get an iced tea or a beer and go back and sit down and expect that ministry is going to be done. God does not call us to be these armchair critics that sit around and complain about the plight of the world and the way people have to live their lives and the situations that exist. God calls us to get our rear ends out of the chair and out of the house and to use what we have to be able to do things to change the world in which we live. And even if we don't have the ability to be able to do that, we have the ability to support different organizations and different ministries through simply our financial gifts. But you see, God calls us each and every day to ponder, to question, and to wonder what it is that we might be able to do. Because being a person of faith, being one who is convicted by the unknown, means that we are called to be active in this world, called to be active participants in the lives of others, called to actively seek out ways to make sure that the world is what God has intended it to be, not what we've turned it into. When Jesus called us to love our neighbor as ourselves, that was an indictment against us to be able to stand up, get out of our chairs, and do what needs to be done to change the plight of the world and to be able to help people in need. Whether it's the person next door, or downtown, or across an ocean. Called to be able to use our resources. Called to be convicted by our faith to reach out to the world in a way that nobody else is willing to do it. God calls us. God speaks to us. It is a matter of us taking out our spiritual Q-tips, cleaning our ears, and listening to what God has to say. As we think about our faith, and we wonder about those glass bridges that we cross, it's important to understand that no matter how treacherous that bridge may seem and how unwilling we might be to cross it, it is our conviction of faith that allows us to know that God will not only allow us to cross that bridge safely, but give us what we need for the work on the other side. Our faith calls us to cross those bridges, to go to those places we might not consider, to help those people that we might not even know, to utilize the blessings that God has placed within our lives, whether it be our brains, our hands, or our pocketbook. And maybe utilizing all three to step out across the bridge, to reach out in faith, and to do that work that God has called us to do. We may hear the bridge crack under our feet, but even with that, God will get us to the other side, showing us exactly what it is that we need to do with ourselves once we get there. Amen.